Let us now turn to read God's Word. We'll continue our studies in the book of Ruth, but I want to turn tonight to the prophecy of Isaiah for our reading. And it's Isaiah chapter 63. The prophecy of Isaiah and chapter 63. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the winefat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord, and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So I was their Saviour. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him, that led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them to make himself an everlasting name, that led them through the deep as an horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble? As a beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. Look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory. Where is thy seal and thy strength, the sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies toward me? Are they restrained? Doubtless thou art our father, though Abram be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. O Lord, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways and hardened our heart from thy fear? Return for thy servant's sake the tribe of thine inheritance. The people of thy holiness have possessed it but a little while. Our adversaries have trodden down thine sanctuary. We are thine. Thy neighbors bear rule over them. They were not called by thy name. Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, that thou wouldst come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. Amen. And may God add his blessing and grant to us understanding in that reading of his own holy and inspired word. And again, we continue our worship of our God, singing this time a portion from Psalm 118. Psalm 118, and we're singing from verse 5. I in distress called on the Lord. The Lord did answer me. He in a large place did me set, from trouble made me free. The mighty Lord is on my side. I will not be afraid. For anything that man can do, I shall not be dismayed. The Lord doth take my part with them that help to succor me. Therefore on those that do me hate, I my desire shall see. Better it is to trust in God than trust in man's defense. Better to trust in God than make princes our confidence. These four stanzas from 118, from 5 through to 9, I in distress called on the Lord. Would you turn back with me to the study we have these last nights in the book of Ruth? And we're coming towards the end of the second chapter. Ruth chapter 2. And we may read from verse 17 to the end of that chapter. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And again, just to put that in proportion, remember that when they were gathering the manna in the wilderness, the proportion and the portion for a man was a tenth of an ephah. That was an omer. And here, therefore, we have 10 times the daily provision for a man that was gathered by Ruth, giving an indication of the abundance of what she was allowed to gather that one day. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave it to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is next of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabite said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. From our reading there in Isaiah 63 and the words we have, verses 19 and 20 of this chapter where we will be focusing our thoughts, we have Naomi in verse 20 saying, Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And the word there, kindness, is that same word that we have in Isaiah 63, the loving kindness of the Lord, the richness, the glorious, abundant provision of his love for every one of his people. That is what is singled out by Naomi here for us tonight. One of the central themes in both the Old Testament and in the New Testament is a very precious possession and at the same time a very challenging commitment. Right at the very beginning in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, we've mentioned it just a few weeks ago, the Shema, which says, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. That's the challenging commitment. That is the precious possession in the Old Testament. When you come into the New Testament, to take again just simply the words of Jude chapter 21, there Jude is saying, keep yourselves in the love of God. The possession, surely the possession that is mentioned there for us, that we should know this love of the Lord God for ourselves, that we should have an interest, a very personal interest, a very personal experience of that to our own soul. The love of God, its richness, the blessing, the spiritual quality, the confidence that that love brings, the way in which our lives are altogether different when we know God in this way, in His love for our soul. In time, no matter what we might meet in life, we can always turn to the Lord for His help and His provision and His blessing. But especially when we come to the threshold of eternity, again we can claim and we can lay hold of that love to the Lord demonstrated in Jesus Christ His Son, a precious possession that will stand us in good stead at that great assize on Judgment Day. Yes, Old Testament and New Testament alike, there is this precious possession, but there is also this challenging commitment. We have to devote ourselves to the Lord. We have it set before us in so many different figures. We're told in one place that we should present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Elsewhere in the New Testament, we're told to take up our cross and follow the Lord. We are to make our commitment to the Lord. And below and behind all of these images and words, there is there the requirement upon every one of the Lord's people to love Him, to obey Him, to trust Him, to pursue holiness and likeness to Jesus Christ, His Son. A central theme, a precious possession, a challenging commitment. It's not natural in the heart of man to have such a longing after the Lord. We have in John 3:19 that light has come into the world, and what has happened? But men have preferred darkness rather than light. And we're following the example of Adam when the Lord God walked in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam went to hide in the bushes to escape from God. And the explanation in Genesis and in John is exactly the same. Because sin has come in to spoil and to mar that relationship with God. And we cannot stand His presence because He is holy and we are not. And we will be consumed by Him. So there is no natural longing towards our God. And we need therefore the work of God's Spirit to give us knowledge, to give us understanding about ourselves and about the Lord Jesus Christ. That experience that we talk of, we sometimes refer to it as the new birth, when we are brought to know ourselves as sinners and we find Jesus Christ as the only Savior. That's the vital experience that is essential to every one of us. And there we discover something of the love of God in giving His Son to be the Savior of such as we are. But that is only the start. What we experience, what the Christian experiences in that moment, there and then, that tasting of God's grace and of God's love only wants that experience to be repeated. We want more and more of the same. To know more of the love, more of the loving kindness of God towards His people. And that appreciation develops through, first of all, the greatness and the cost of the gift that is given. When we think of what this inheritance for God's people is. But it also grows when we measure that gift against the dignity and the standing of the person who obtains it. It is not an angel or any other that has done this work, but God's own Son. Again, a proportion, a marker for the love that God has for his people. And then perhaps a third marker to develop and to stimulate our appreciation is the character and the condition of those for whom this blessing is sought and on whom it is bestowed. It is given to sinners who have no right nor claim of anything the Lord bestows. Through a Christian life, that appreciation grows and develops in these areas. But there is also some time when a great and surprising event comes upon us. And the Lord meets with his people. Blessings are bestowed upon his people just in ordinary everyday events and circumstances. The Lord breaks in and the Lord suddenly makes himself known in a very unusual, in a very spiritual way. Something like just what's happened here with Naomi and Ruth. When Naomi says, "Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." That kind of experience that Naomi had, an ordinary day, waiting for Ruth to come home from the field. And yet in that coming home we find not only does Ruth come home and meet with Naomi, but also the Lord comes and meets with the two of them. And there's evidence given of this loving kindness towards them both. We've already seen 2 weeks ago the simple thought that we had based on this chapter was a day in the life of Ruth. A day that was not different from any other, but yet it was significant, it was important, because it was significant not only for her and her marriage, but also was significant for history and the fulfilling of God's purposes and plans in the coming of David and in the coming of Jesus Christ. An ordinary day to outward appearance, but a significant one where she was guided in providence exactly where she was brought. So into these routine events, the Lord broke in his providence, demonstrating his love, demonstrating his care towards Ruth. And it's only later on when she goes home and tells that Naomi gives a spiritual significance of what has happened. And just think of it. It's Naomi that does this. Naomi who went on that spiritual journey to the land of Moab. Naomi who went out full but came back empty. Naomi who went through tremendous spiritual lessons there of refining and purifying. Naomi returned having learned many lessons. And so we saw a day in the life of Ruth, and last time we saw some thoughts in the mind of Boaz. And so tonight, as we come to the end of this chapter, I want us to think of one brief and simple thought. Hope in the plans of Naomi. Hope in the plans of Naomi, because when you read these few verses, something is beginning to form in our thinking. Something is beginning to gel and to come together. Something of what the Lord has been doing in her life, but especially in the life of Ruth. Something about the relationships that still exist. Something is beginning to take form and shape. And these plans will be put into effect when we get into chapter 3, God willing. But I want just for tonight just to think about the hope that was in the plans of Naomi. Because we have in these few words of this verse a reflection of spiritual truths and spiritual experiences. We see them in the relationship between Ruth and Boaz. And we can take them and we can see their spiritual application to the Lord and to His people. So very briefly tonight, I want us to think of hope and the plans of Naomi. And the first thing I want us to think about is love and encouragement. We know there from our familiarity, from reading it in the past, the way in which Boaz encouraged Ruth to gather in his fields. There was the assurance of protection given to her. She would not be hassled, she would not be in danger. The people there, the harvesters, the reapers, would look after her and take care of her. Provision, but there was the protection, but there was also provision made for her that she wasn't to eat apart, but she was come to join with the rest and have the meal with them. And even there, when they were having that meal, we are told that it was Boaz himself that dipped the bread, parched corn, and gave it to her. Again, just little things, but all of them coming together encourage Ruth and give a little indication of the love that there was forming and coming together in the heart of Boaz for Ruth. We see that love also in what we noticed about gleanings in the fields. The gleaners were allowed to go round the edges and to gather the things that had been discarded or weren't worth gathering by the people who were harvesting the crops. And whenever Boaz knew that that's what Ruth was doing in the field, Boaz took time to give instructions to those who were collecting and cutting the harvest. He says, leave a few handfuls, quite deliberately, out in the main thoroughfare for her to come across, collect and take. She wasn't chased out of the field as an intruder, as a Moabitess. She wasn't chased out of the field, quite the opposite. There was provision made for her. Little somethings to encourage her. And no doubt we can all imagine the way in which when she came across these things, they were appreciated by her. The process of gleaning. And the way in which this gleaning is, when we go to the Old Testament institution of it, it's found and based upon God's character in His dealings with these people. He's the one who rescues slaves, cares for the needy, provides for the poor. He's the one who protected the weak and the vulnerable and the frail. And that's exactly what they once were. And God saved them. And God showed mercy and God showed care and God showed love towards them. And so therefore there's an obligation upon them and upon us if we have received good things from the hand of the Lord. Just the same as they've received good things, if they've received tokens of His love, as we've received tokens of His love, the obligation is upon both them and us to show that care in the way we deal with others. We are to reflect the character of God to others, to show it in our relationships, in our attitudes, in our dealings with them. It's something that it goes, for Boaz, it went beyond mere generosity. For Ruth, it went beyond mere expectation. Boaz is demonstrating something of the character of God. Something that is pointing us forward and is fully known and realized in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ who exceeds our demands, our needs, our askings. Jesus Christ who surprises us when we least expect it. and especially Jesus Christ, who comes and drops little encouragements for his children along the way. Charles Spurgeon puts it so attractively like this. He speaks of meal times for God's people. Picking up the image of this chapter itself, he speaks of meal times for his people. When they experience his provision for them. We sit around his word. We sit at his feet. We meet with his people. And so often the Lord comes, perhaps when we least expect it. And the Lord comes and meets with us, and there's a blessing from that encounter with him. We might be about our daily work. We might be going about our business day after day in society. Or maybe we're in the midst of some trouble or problem. And again, just there, right in the middle of that situation, tense, testing as it might be, we have the same thing repeated for us. The Lord bursts in with a thought, perhaps from a sermon we've heard in the past. Or maybe just a text that we remember from a reading of a chapter. Or some spiritual lesson and challenge that was given to us by somebody long gone from us. These are the ways in which the Lord breaks in meal times, feeding times for his people. Remember the way in which Ruth and all of them, they were feeling quite dry. It was hot weather, warm weather gathering in the field. They were feeling perhaps a little dry, the same way as we can feel sometimes a little dry. And then the Lord meets with us. And just the same way as Boaz reached her parched corn and she did eat and was sufficed and left. So sometimes when we're dry, just like this, in the mealtime, spiritual feeding times, the Lord surprises us by coming alongside us. And he himself from his own hand ministers to his people. Suddenly we're walking on air. We're there in the heat of the day, in the battle. And the Lord comes and meets with his own. Yes, it's hot, it's intense, it's prolonged. But the Lord meets and the Lord gives encouragements. Little handfuls of food along the way. Tokens of his love. Signs to encourage us. That's what they were to Ruth from Boaz. There we have the spiritual reflection of the Lord dealing with his people. Tokens of his love, signs of encouragement. Only later on was the special significance of these things made known by Naomi. But we can see that love here in the way in which, as we mentioned, Boaz took time out to give instructions to those that were harvesting in that land to give provision for Ruth. But also we see the extent of his love and the way in which he said, leave handfuls here and there, giving an indication of his love and his interest and his care towards Ruth. And the way in which the Lord comes and meets with his people still. And the way in which he comes with little encouragements along the day when the path is hot and the path is heavy. The Lord there breaks in when we least expect it to give us encouragement. Makes known his love to us. Gives us strength to go on. The loving kindness of the Lord his love, his encouragement there, Boaz, to Ruth. But not only do we have that, we've also got something of the grace of the Lord in the way in which Boaz dealt with Ruth. We see there the grace of God and the kind acts of men. Ruth, what did she do? She had to comb, as we said, not too precisely, we can't be so, but it's something between 30 and 50 pounds weight, an ephah. But there was enough there to keep them going for at least 2 weeks, perhaps. There might even have been the possibility of something extra that they could sell to get back some of the basic necessities and commodities they needed, having come back from the land of Moab. But you can see the way in which Naomi would have been there, very fraught and very anxious and apprehensive on that first day when Ruth came home from being in the fields, and she was concerned where she'd been, what she's got, who she's met, who she's been with. And as all these questions come piling out, Ruth says, yes, I've been in this man's field. This man? And you begin to see suddenly the things coming together in the mind of Naomi. And there she says, blessed be the Lord, who has not left off his loving kindness. We see there the grace of God coming through also. Because the mention is there, not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. Now, why should the dead be referred to and mentioned here? And the only explanation we've got is what we see more fully as we go through the other two chapters of this book. The way in which Boaz was to be a kinsman redeemer. There is that provision in the Old Testament for someone who is a kinsman, a near relative, to come in and to raise up a family where there is none, so that the family line of Elimelech can be continued. It doesn't die out because there is no children to follow on. And that's what Boaz was going to be with Ruth. And Naomi was clutching at it and beginning to see it. And she speaks about the kindness and the grace of God in making that kind of provision for her, for Elimelech, for Ruth, for the family. This love, the word we've spoken about it so often before, this loving kindness, it's that love, that loyalty, that reliability. That's what is mentioned and referred to here on the part of the Lord. We can go back, for example, to the days of Egypt. And there in the days of Egypt, God had made a promise concerning his people that he would redeem them and that he would bring them out and he would bring them into a land, the land of Canaan, the land of promise. That's the covenant, that's the promise, that's the arrangement that he made with them, and he will fulfill it. That's the extent of the meaning of loving kindness. In his love and his commitment to his people, he will do it because he has promised it. He kept them through the wilderness. He provided for them along the way. He resolved to find and to bring the very best to his people. And nothing was going to thwart that purpose. The image of the Lord God is represented in the most tender of images, as a shepherd looking after the flock and calling them and caring for them and committing himself to them to lead them. And that tender image of the resolve of the Lord in his love to benefit and to bless his people. That resolve of the shepherd looking after the sheep is made all the more attractive and heightened for us when we think of the faults and the provocations and the indifference on the part of the sheep. But what the Lord says and what this word means is that the loving kindness of the Lord is not going to be frustrated or thwarted, even the faults and failings of his people. The Lord will correct and the Lord will remove these very obstacles from amongst them. We were looking at our midweek meeting for some time there about and in the book of Hosea. And in Hosea we have in chapter 11 one of the most tender images. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. And as they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Balaam and burnt incense and graven images. I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. And I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws. I laid meat unto them. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as Zebulun? My heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. There is the Lord opening up to us something of the depth of His love and of His grace, His resolve and His purpose for these His people. So that even when sin threatens, disturbs, disrupts to destroy His people, God will not tolerate it nor allow it, but will bring steps and will bring experiences and events to burn out and to remove that sin that's an obstacle with them. And He will continue in His resolve graciously to bless, graciously to prosper them. We see that grace in the life of Naomi. She ran away at the first sign of difficulty. When the first signs of famine came, she was away into the land of Moab. But there in the land of Moab, God met her, dealt with her. Yes, it was a hard lesson. She lost her husband. She lost her two sons. She went out all with her own plans. But the Lord took her back with this one woman, Ruth. And Naomi, looking back and reflecting upon these past 10, 12 years perhaps, there is Naomi and she can see. Yes, God's hand has been upon her. There has been much disobedience and there has been much in her character that had to be removed. She had no claims upon the Lord in any way. But now we see the blessing the Lord has for them in His grace. His purposes are not thwarted. Their purposes are not in any way compromised because of the behavior of Naomi in going as she did. But the Lord lays His hand upon her and brings her back. So therefore we ourselves, we can look into our own lives. We can hold the mirror of Naomi's experience to see and understand ourselves all the better. We may try to run. We may try to hide. But we cannot. We can trace God's hand day after day, year after year. We can see the way in which suddenly perhaps, least expected, God breaks in just as He broke into the life of these two women. In His grace, speaking to them, piling blessings upon them. How often perhaps the Lord has done that for us. How long have we resisted this gospel message and the overtures of His grace? How long have we lived in a way that's provoked the Lord? Yet still, here we have the message of the gospel of pardon and forgiveness. And here we have the Lord sometimes meeting us when we least expect it, speaking to us even through a word just like this tonight, breaking in and telling us and speaking to us about spiritual things. We've heard it before, but it comes with a freshness tonight to our soul. The Lord then drawing us back to Himself. Can we therefore tonight say, just like Naomi said it, the Lord has not left off His kindness to the living and to the dead. And as we think of His loving kindness to us in the details of our own life, we can get hold somewhere there of the proportion of His grace. And as we do so and realize the enormity of His love, we are lost for words at the sheer largeness and the scope and the scale of God's thoughts to us. And just as we were thinking about appreciation at the top of the sermon, so therefore when we realize the scale and the scope of God's thoughts towards us and our provocation of them, so there is a deepening of appreciation, a stimulating of love for our God. So yes, we've seen His love, we've seen His grace. One last thought, briefly. We see the hope. The hope of Naomi. Now, when we last looked at Naomi in any great scale, Naomi was blaming God for the sorrows that she was going through. I went out full and He has brought me back empty. There was bitterness there accompanying her, perhaps, so she spoke to the other people, because my name is no longer Naomi, my name is Mara. But now there's a new word upon her lips. She says now, blessed be He of the Lord. And we've got to stop and ask ourselves, in 10 years, how long is it since she last had this experience? How long is it since she was last in this place? Bitter thoughts piling up upon her for such a long time. But now they've all been changed and they're away, and there's one now left with her, a contrast to all the others. Now it's blessed. God meets with her afresh. God awakens her soul. Her soul that has been asleep for so long. And now there's a new hope in her heart. And it's a new hope that rests quite simply and briefly upon several simple thoughts. She has this hope that rests on who Boaz was. He's a near relative. He's able to step into the place to help them in their time of need. He is a kinsman redeemer. That's who Boaz was. What did Boaz do? Boaz demonstrated his kindness. Boaz took an interest in the situation. Boaz went out of his way to provide for Ruth. He did not deny her access to the field. He did not deprive her of what she had gathered. He didn't make life difficult for her. Quite the contrary. He went out of his way to make things easy for her in her gathering. What did Boaz say? Boaz encouraged Ruth time and time again, encouraging her to join with them, encouraging her to associate with them both in the harvesting and in the feeding times. Boaz is a kinsman redeemer. That's the hope that she was holding on to in her plans. We're going to look at that as we get into chapter 3 more fully. But let me just say it now, what the kinsman redeemer means. It points us forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was Boaz? He was a relative, someone who came down beside to step into the place to help in their need. And is that not what the Lord does? He is identified with us. He has come and He has taken our humanity to Himself. He stands beside us in the depth of our need to lift us up out of the pit of our making. What has He done? We know it already. He has gone to the cross and there He has given His life. What has He said? He has spoken time and time and time again of His love and of His promises and of His affection to His people. That's where the hope of the gospel rests. Health for our soul, joy for our life, pardon for our sin. We can lean upon Him. We can lean upon Him and we will not be disappointed. They were leaning, are going to lean upon Boaz. That was their hope. As Christ is the hope of every one of His people. It's a hope that grows stronger every day as we feed on Christ. As we take more and more of what He has said and done to ourselves. At the end of the first chapter, it was at harvest time, but it was a time of sadness and of bitterness, of being alone and in poverty. At the end of chapter 2, we're still at a harvest time. But things are so different now. There's hope. There's comfort. There's provision. There is hope. There's something coming together to take shape and form in the plans and the mind of Naomi. We see, therefore, the grace of God in dealing with the two of them. We see the overruling of providence and of love in ordinary everyday events. His purposes and their good coming together. Difficult perhaps to recognize it in the beginning. But then suddenly when she comes home and they're talking together, there God breaks into their life. Blessings on such a large scale to be had by them. Not disturbed, not deserved, least expected. But most appreciated by them all. The application is so obvious to ourselves. The Lord dealing with us. Suddenly breaking into our lives. And He comes with His arms filled with blessings for the soul of His people. And the simple question lingers with us as we close this evening. Do we have a hope that will stand for all time and through all eternity? And is that hope built upon the One, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come down to lift us up and to make us joint heirs with Himself in glory? The hope in the plans of Naomi. What are the hopes in our lives tonight? Do they fix? Are they resting on Jesus Christ? The very personification and demonstration of the loving kindness of the Lord. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we bless Thy name for the way in which Thou dost meet with Thy people. Truly Thou dost break in when least expected, when everything else points against. When all of the troubles are heaped up about us like mountains. When the path ahead of us is so rough and difficult and the weight we have to carry so heavy. And there Thou dost meet with Thine own to strengthen and to encourage and to share with them spiritual things for their good. Lord, may we know that for ourselves from the ministry today. And may we hold on to these things for our good. Bless us, our Father. Bless us, our Lord. Meet with Thy people. And deal with us in Thy grace. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We close tonight by singing from Psalm 89. Psalm 89, and we're singing from verse 15. Psalm 89, O great, at verse 15, O greatly blessed the people are, the joyful sound that know, in brightness of thy face, O Lord, they ever on shall go. They in thy name shall all the day rejoice exceedingly, and in thy righteousness shall they exalted be on high, because the glory of their strength doth only stand in thee, and in thy favour shall our horn and power exalted be, for God is our defence, and he to us doth safety bring. The Holy One of Israel is our Almighty King. Psalm 89 at 15 to verse 18, four stanzas. O greatly blessed the people are.
O greatly blessed
the people are, the joyful sound that know in brightness.
Now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.